produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Today, I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. Don't forget to pick up our separate weekly Normal News audio podcast. We have links to subscribe and listen at normalaudiostash.com. Our Normal News stories this week include 98% of all domestically eradicated marijuana is, quote, ditchweed, close quote, DEA admits, and British and European drug regulators to decide approval of prescription pot spray. That's in our separate weekly Normal News audio podcast. We have links to subscribe and listen at normalaudiostash.com. And folks, I'm very pleased to announce that we've served over 200,000 MP3s of Normal's Daily Audio Stash in a little over 70 shows. Last week's show with Tommy Chong had almost 12,000 downloads. Thanks to everyone for listening, and make sure you vote for us at Podcast Alley and other podcast directory services. We'll continue growing the truth about cannabis and working to end marijuana prohibition. We have a special College Campus Friday stash for you today, featuring three interviews with campus activists. Corrine Bose of Florida Atlantic Campus Normal, Stacia Cosner of University of Maryland Students for Sensible Drug Policy, and SSDP's National Field Director, Micah Daigle. We have links to everyone featured in today's show at normalaudiostash.com.
Don't know what's been going on, but I know that it feels so wrong, yeah, yeah. I don't know what's been going on, but I know that it feels so wrong, yeah, yeah. We got to find a solution, yeah. We got to find a solution, yeah, yeah.
Corrine Bose is the president of the Normal Chapter at Florida Atlantic University, and she coordinated the four-campus tour for Normal's founder, Keith Strupp, starting up this Monday. We caught up with Corrine as she opened the new Normal office on campus yesterday to discuss the very active chapter there and Keith's upcoming visit. Corrine, welcome to Normal's Daily Audio Stash today.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chris Golson.
Great to speak with you today, Corrine. I know it's a big week with Keith flying in next week, but tell us about the chapter there and what else is going on.
Other than Keith coming to town on Monday, the Florida Atlantic University Boca Campus chapter has been rocking out of the walls, like seriously doing some business on campus. We have set up a policy this year to table as much as we can to get out to speak to everybody from all walks on our campus at all times, to get as many people that are students there to recognize us, to remember that we've been around for 4 years. We are officially a four-year standing chapter of Florida Normal. We have had really, really good reception on our campus in the last couple of years. Our membership has grown threefold since Keith last was here, so we're really excited to have him back to show him, you know, how much success we've had just from the little he gave us. We started 4 years ago in fall with literally three girls. Three girls. The requirement for student government was three girls, or three people, excuse me, and an advisor. And they got three people together. They got an advisor. They started a club, and they had a meeting. They advertised a couple days on the breezeway. They got some people to come, and Keith spoke to an audience of about 25 kids, maybe 20 kids. And from those 20, we got a board. We got tabling projects together. We got barbecues. We did a car wash. I do believe we did a car wash. We do Marley Fest every year. And the beginning of this year was really exciting for us. We set up the table in the morning at around 8:45, 9 o'clock, and we stay out there until about 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon just to express what normal is, explain to them what we do on campus. We have meetings. We bring activists here. We bring lawyers to school to educate them about what the drug war means to them on a daily, you know, person-to-person basis and how they can protect themselves from it. The first day we were out there, the people were just nuts. Like, we had freshmen and their parents, you know, really excited that they were there and saw our table, and we had some parents come over and mention that they'd known about normal or heard about normal when they were in college. And, you know, we have our dean's support, the undergraduate dean. Don't want to shout him out too much, but he tells us some stories from the good old days before he was an administrator. And even the president of the university, you know, when he stops by the breezeway, which is our central commerce area, he stops by, he says hello to us, and he really appreciates us for being there because as a club, we were always thought to be something worthless, you know, waste of money, waste of student budget, waste of, you know, tuition funds, which is ridiculous. And we've shown them, you know, we've grown from a $1,000 budget to a $6,000 budget this year, and we're going to use that to our advantage for the entire state of Florida. We're putting together these campus tours to relieve the stresses of the smaller chapters or the chapters that have smaller budgets and have had harder hassles with their senates, and we're just using it to our advantage that we have four schools. By the end of this semester, our goal for Florida Normal is to open up 8 chapters on different campuses all over Florida, including University of North Florida, University of West Florida, you know, Eckerd College, University of South Florida will have their chapter, University of Miami will come back on board, and then Florida International University is expected as a chapter as well. So we're really getting ready to rock out and, you know, get as much people aware, get the community aware, find a base in their area where they can come and have meetings. You know, the university chapters are great because the public is welcome. Public university, people who don't go to school there can come on board, come to meetings as visitors of the campus. You know, it's a good opportunity for us as an organization, especially this year.
Corrine, it is just so awesome to hear about such a dynamic Normal campus chapter. You know, why do you think there's such a great response on campus there in Florida, a state considered, you know, very conservative?
From what I've heard, most of the new students that we've gotten, people that have been around for a couple of years, have stated that they're just sick of seeing people go to jail. In the last couple of years, we've had a little relief on Florida Atlantic University as far as marijuana-related arrests or incidences, which is great because our campus police give us a lot of respect for that because we do that through our meetings, through our education. And they support us now because just now they're realizing with the pressures from the war and the strains, you know, gas prices, especially on students who have no money already, who are facing tuition hikes every semester, you know, book rates, you know, they change books every semester now. They're worthless, you know, great big pieces of paper that you can rip away if you want to. It's hard on them to see their money go away and know that, you know, if they decide to have a little, I don't know, meditation, I say, a little meditation, that they would be in jeopardy of losing their tuition reimbursement from federal funds. Also, you know, they would also get blackballed for it, basically. And we have a lot of strong opinions on our campus. We have some very conservative folks that come over and they heckle us a little bit and they jab at us, but, you know, they can't say anything because on campus right now, we are standing in the number one in membership attendance, in activity attendance, in activities in general on campus. We're seeing a lot of clubs lose funding because they're getting budgets. They're claiming to put on events and barbecues and socials and just kind of squandering the money. And they really scrutinize us, so we hold up our end of the bargain. We say, you know, you give us this money, we're going to come back with educational programs. We're going to come back and bring these people who are commuters by nature on our campus to stay here, to come here at 8 o'clock at night and have a purpose for being here other than for their furthering their education or furthering their careers.
And this type of activity, Corrine, working hand-in-hand with law enforcement, I mean, this is just priceless activism training.
It really is a lot. You would not believe the reactions that you know, a lot of people that have been, you know, they're third-year, fourth-year students that still see us out there. You know, most people recognize me on sites because every day my dress is, you know, normal shirt, comfortable wear, flip-flops. I'm out there at the table. I'm the only person talking. You know, I say hello to everybody. I greet everybody that passes my table so they know that I'm there. And so when they see me there for a fourth year and they hear us talking about getting all this money and, you know, having all these events that they never knew existed and they didn't think that, you know, we'd still be around because, you know, we're a pod club. We're the pod club. How are you existing? How did they even, like, let you come on the breezeway? You know, why are you here? That's what they say to us. And it's really funny. We're just like, you know, we go to the Senate meetings. We respect the senators. We respect the process. And we basically find out what we need to do to be in the guidelines of the university funding, and we do that. We do that tenfold. We bring out 50 members to every meeting, and no other club can say that. We're the second most highly funded club on our campus, and next year we'll be number one.
Well, Corrine, again, it was just wonderful to hear about all the goings-on there with the Florida Normal on campus. Many thanks again for taking time to speak with us today.
Absolutely. It was good to talk to you too, Chris. Just so you know, I had a little acoustic accompaniment in the background. There's Garrett Thompson, one of our newest members, just kind of jamming out on his acoustic guitar, giving me a little backup. So I wanted to shout him out. And thank you so much. We are really looking forward to this year, and I want to invite everybody in the community to come out. We welcome you. Thanks.
Corrine Bowes is the president of Florida Normal at Florida Atlantic University. We have links to the campuses where Keith will be next week at normalaudiostash.com. And we'll hear from a number of the Florida Normal folks here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Stay tuned.
There are many ways of killing days and time to rhyme is mine, but I lose my mind when I'm working 9 to 5. I strive to keep my mind alive with thoughts and ways to make the days blur into a haze, struggling through a maze of many ways, thinking of summer days and summer haze, and thinking of all the lazy ways I used to spend my days back in the days when I was raised as I lie getting high on my back in the maze. I said a lie, getting high on my back in the maze. We got to find a solution, yeah. We got to find a solution, yeah.
Stacia Costner is the president of Students for Sensible Drug Policy at the University of Maryland and has been involved hands-on with the student referendum on campus there. Stacia, thanks for joining us today. First, let's go over the referendum itself and how it was passed.
All right. Well, last year, SSCP and Normal at the University of Maryland pushed for a referendum or pushed for a question on the SGA ballot that asked the students whether they think individuals caught with marijuana possession should receive penalties that are no more punitive than the current penalties being enforced on students who get caught underage drinking on campus. And we got that on the SGA ballot, and then during SGA elections, we did some campaigning and got the word out, got people to vote, and then the vote came in, and it was 65% voted yes that they are in favor of lessening the penalties for first-time marijuana possession.
And can this type of referendum take place on any campus in the country?
I believe so. All you have to do, well, what we did was we went through the SGA and we lobbied them and we talked to them and worked with them, and they were real receptive to the idea. The referendum question was not binding, meaning they didn't, you know, if the students voted yes, it wasn't an automatic change that would be incited. So we're doing a lot of work now to sort of get it implemented, meeting with the administration and stuff like that. But I'm sure any campus could go through their SGA or read their student code of conduct to see how, if, why, you know, what the process is for making change in the policies or in, like, the code of conduct or
you know, the implementation of any of the enforcement.
Stacia, it seems like the students there are speaking out about some particularly harsh marijuana penalties on campus.
Absolutely. It's our school. If you get caught in the residence halls or actually anywhere on campus, specifically in the residence halls, if an RA, a resident assistant, smells the odor of marijuana, they're instructed to immediately call the police and not notify the resident, and in which case the police will come to the resident's door, they'll knock, and then if the student opens the door, they'll come in and they use the smell of marijuana as probable cause to be able to search the room. They will search the room. Most cases, the students are arrested and sent to jail that night. And then when they get back to campus, they have a whole slew of sanctions that they will get from the university, including suspension, 2 years of drug testing, completion of a substance abuse intervention program, all of which the student must pay for. And then they get kicked out of the housing within 48 hours. They're given 48 hours to move off campus. And then in more severe cases, they're immediately suspended. And if you fail one drug test within the 2 years, then you're also suspended. So it's pretty harsh. This isn't the way it is on all campuses.
So, Stacia, last year this was passed by the students. And how is the administration dealing with it, and what are their perceptions of it this fall?
Well, they pretty much said to me, I had a meeting with Vice President of Student Affairs, Linda Clement, and she's one of the deans here. She's one of the people in charge. So I went to her with a 10-page proposal right before school started. And she basically told me, that's great. You're a student group trying to do something. You should go for it. However, I don't agree with these changes that you guys would like. But if you want to go through all the red tape, here's how you do it. And she told me that I need to submit a proposal to Residence Life to address the issue of involving police for these minor marijuana possession offenses, and that I need to address the University Senate to get a change in the Student Code of Conduct. So she was pleasant, but she wasn't as helpful as I would like her to be, but she did tell me what avenues I needed to go through if I wanted to do all the legwork and if we really wanted to. Something changed.
And one final question for you today, Stacia. During our College Week broadcast, let me ask, how do you find your experience being involved with SSDP on campus?
Well, I mean, I love it. I love organizing, and I love all the people that come to our groups. We're really close. All of our members are, you know, good friends. We hang out. So in that respect, it's easy to just gather all these people together who have common interests, and then, you know, everybody's excited about it. Everybody wants to help. We get to know each other. But on the other hand, it is a little bit difficult to mobilize that many people, and it's hard to delegate all the tasks that we have. But we're doing what we can, and it's my first year as president, so I'm sort of learning as I go. But so far, I really love it, and everybody's been really helpful, and it's been going pretty good.
Stacia, many thanks for joining us here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you.
Stacia Cosner is the president of Students for Sensible Drug Policy at the University of Maryland. We have links to the SSDP and Normal chapters there at normalaudiostash.com.
Sweet child.
Sweet child. The moment has arrived.
It's so beautiful here. Oh, sweet child.
Sweet child,
the moment has arrived.
Great change waits at your doorstep. Make way, it's time to let this little light of yours shine. No wasting 1 second guessing. Be at the ready. Be at the beck and call of the precipice of destiny.
Micah Daigle is the field director at Students for Sensible Drug Policy and ran a campus chapter himself. He joins us today to talk about the process of starting up an SSDP club on campus. Micah, welcome to Normal's Daily Audio Stash today.
Thanks for having me on the show, Chris.
Micah, let's start off with this. What's it like to run an SSDP chapter on campus?
Well, it's exciting, it's fun, and you learn a lot of skills that you wouldn't learn anywhere else. Basically, my experience at the University of Rhode Island running the chapter was part of the main reason that I, you know, will forever look back at, you know, my college career as something that was positive and worthwhile. Because in addition to learning academically, you know, things that are going on in the world, I was actually playing an instrumental part of changing things, right, on my campus and in my community. And our chapter worked on a lot of things, including the Rhode Island Medical Marijuana Act, which passed overwhelmingly recently. We also worked on a lot of on-campus change issues, for example, getting the administration to stop calling the police on marijuana users in the dorms, so that it was handled as an internal issue. Really it was a great experience, and that's why I'm here in Washington, D.C., helping other chapters organize and be part of the movement to end the war on drugs.
And this is a lot of interesting work, coordinating officials to come to some understanding and not calling the police.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's a lot of coalition building, finding groups and organizations and faculty members on campus that agree with you, and then coming up with a strategy to bring this to the faculty. Now, you know, as you would probably assume, the administration is usually, you know, not initially very receptive to these sorts of proposed changes. But there are lots of things that students can do to win the administration over. One of those things would be to actually find statistics on drug arrests on campus and compare those to arrests at other schools that are similar to the university that they're at. Currently, right now, the University of Maryland is doing that. And what they found is that the peer institutions of the University of Maryland, that those are universities that are very similar in size to the University of Maryland, is arresting far less students for marijuana. And that, you know, they're bringing this to the administration, and it, you know, if the administration doesn't want to change it, that's a media story right there. Why is this one university arresting so many more students when other universities are not?
And Micah, as field director, what are some of the most common questions you get from students trying to get their SSDP chapter up and running?
Well, mainly students are curious about a few things. One question that I get quite a bit is, Micah, I really want to start this chapter, and I really feel strongly about this issue, but how is this going to look? On my resume or whatever. I don't want to put this on my resume. I don't want to be attached to this. You know, am I going to be stigmatized? Am I going to be targeted? And what I have to say is that, you know, this is actually something that students can be proud of to put on their resume. I mean, the majority of people in America, when you ask them, you know, are pretty strongly of the opinion that the war on drugs has failed. Now, most people are not for legalization per se, but most people realize that the war on drugs, as it's being waged right now, is a failure. So when you have this, you know, national student organization working to change the way that the United States deals with drug policy, and then, you know, now we have our chapters in Canada working over international borders, you really have something that you can be proud of, because this is something that nobody else is working on. This is America's longest war. The war on drugs is America's longest war. So that's, you know, something that that is asked a lot, but I don't think that people should be afraid to take a stand on this. I think it's actually something that you can be proud of. In addition to that, students usually ask, what sort of nuts and bolts thing, or what sort of nuts and bolts activities do I have to do to get a chapter started? And that's pretty simple. First, you need to get an organization started by organizing people. Get some flyers up around campus and do some recruitment and get people out to your first meeting. And then you can start setting the agenda for the rest of the year. Now most schools, require some sort of official recognition, and that sort of thing is a little daunting when you're not familiar with the system, but that's why the National Office is here to help. Right on our website, we have a lot of resources to help students, even, sample flyers and chapter constitutions, and my job here in the National Office is to walk people through that process that I've been through. So really, it's quite simple to start a chapter, and it's really worthwhile. But the first thing you really need to do is touch base with us at the National Office.
Micah, thanks again very much for joining us here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you, Chris. And just one final word. I'd like to say that I know Chris talked a little bit about our conference coming up here in Washington, D.C., but if you are at all interested in getting active with the fight to end the war on drugs, check out our website and check out the conference. We'd love to see you out here in Washington, D.C., so you can learn more about the student movement and the war on drugs. And I look forward to hearing from students who are looking to get involved.
Micah Daigle is the field director at Students for Sensible Drug Policy. We have links at normalaudiostash.com.
Know that it's been leading up to this singularity since the moment you entered existence. Sweet child, the moment has arrived. Rejoice, recognize, realize, realign, reconvene with your meaning. This is that reckoning. This is everything reacting to rapture. Notice how even the air is alert. Every breath so dedicated and brimming with portent that it catches itself, holds itself. All of nature on the verge of burgeoning, bursting, flourishing with your bloom.
We have links to everyone you heard today at normalaudiostash.com. And thanks again to Corrine, Stacia, and Micah for contributing to today's program. Let's round out today's show with a little comedy from Peeper Radio Theater and some music.
Peeper Radio Theater presents Holmes in 30 Seconds. Tonight's episode, The Final Problem. And go.
Ah, rest and relax, indignation.
Do try and remember why we're on the Swiss holiday, won't you, Watson?
Fondue?
Fun.
Oh, the pursuit of that heinous villain, James Moriarty. I plumb forgot Holmes.
Yes, well, see that you keep your mind sharp, Watson.
Sharp as a fondue stick, Holmes? How about that nature walk? Ah, good walk, Holmes. But I must be off.
Goodbye, Watson. I've got a trap to walk into up by that treacherous waterfall.
Well, goodbye, then.
Ah, James Moriarty. Let me just leave a note, a cigarette box, and my walking stick right here. Now, how about the...
Fondue! Oh, I'm back, Holmes. Holmes, are you dead? What's this, a note?
Dearest, what time?
Take a hit at a camp, hop on a baby. Take a hit at a camp, hop man. Take a hit at a camp, hop, I'll make it. I'll make it from an aluminum can. Take a hit at a camp, hop presidency, cause I'm making for free. Safety pin on my shoelace, just a kiss, I'll run it to a friend in me.
This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. If you listen to the Audio Stash, vote for us at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. Everyone have a fun summer weekend out there, and we're back at 4:20 on Monday. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.